Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Okay, it's so good to see faces out here. No offense to Kenny and Pastor, have been here throughout the whole thing. But you want your water? Anyway, it is good to look out there, though, and see some faces. I think I'm going to have to prop this up, take the glare off of it. All right, we're going to talk about today, what's your position? What is your position? We all have positions we're in. We're all in the sitting position. You all are in the sitting position right now. That's comfortable, right? But there's different positions. There are positions we're in every day. Every day we're physically either sitting, standing, walking. But I bet our favorite's sitting most of the time. But we need to sit, stand, and walk spiritually as well. Those are still positions spiritually we can have, but too often, I think, we're spiritually laying down. So we need to get up and not spiritually lay down, but we need they're all important positions. The sit, the standing, and the walking are all important positions. But physically, here are reasons why sitting is bad for you physically. Are y'all ready? It hurts your heart. Dementia is more likely if you just sit. That's what it said. You can undo all your exercise. So if you get up and you exercise 30 minutes in the morning and then you just sit the rest of the day, it's really not to your benefit. So you can kind of undo all the good you already did. You can get blood clots. Nobody wants blood clots. And you can gain weight. So those are all things that can happen if you sit all the time. Now, I have a desk at work, and I like to sit, but everybody else was getting this thing where you could lift all your stuff up and you could stand up too, you know. So everybody else did it, so I got one. So one day I actually was standing at my desk and working, and the doctor rounds the corner and he looks over and he went, "Oh, good, you're standing up, because you know, sitting is the new smoking." And I said, "No, I didn't know." And he said, "Yeah." Well, he's a vein doctor, so he does know all these things. I mean, he's, you know, he knows what he's talking about, and he'll tell me often he's pretty awesome. So I figure he knows, since he's so awesome, he knows what he's talking about. But anyway, sitting is the new smoking. So we don't want to be smokers, right? It's bad for you. So we need to get up and move. But spiritual sitting is a good thing. It's a good thing to spiritually sit. If we look at Luke 9:14, it says, and this is the feeding of the 5,000. About 5,000 men were there, but he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50 each." They were sitting because sometimes sitting, you're expecting something. They were expecting something. They really probably didn't know what Jesus was going to do. They probably didn't know he was actually going to feed them, because they could probably look around and see that there was no food. But they were sitting expecting something. Psalm 27:14 says, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." Now, usually when we're waiting, we're sitting. Unless you're at Six Flags and then you're standing. But usually you're sitting. Think about waiting for an appointment in a doctor's office or something. Typically, you're just sitting there and you're just waiting. But the original Hebrew waiting means not just sitting, but hoping and expecting. You're expecting something. It means to linger too, so don't be in a hurry about things. John 15:5-7 says, "I'm the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit, and apart from me, you can do nothing." So remain also means to wait or linger. It's that sense of, not just sitting, but you get comfortable and you just remain in his presence. You just sit there and just soak in the Lord when you're sitting in his presence. You're not moving, you're just waiting. Now, too many times we treat waiting on the Lord like we treat waiting in traffic, where we're just perturbed. You know, we're not hearing anything right away. Things aren't moving along. And so we don't want to keep waiting. We just want to go. Just somebody go. Just go. Go. We don't want to sit here. So we shouldn't be like that when we're waiting on the Lord. We need to really just be calm, cool it down, and wait in his presence. Spiritually, the more we sit and remain sitting in God's presence, the better off we are. We are totally better off when we wait to let the Lord speak to us and talk to us. But there's not just sitting, there's also standing. Now, there are benefits to standing. Are y'all ready what physical benefits to standing are? It reduces the risk of weight gain and obesity. It lowers the risk of heart disease. It helps lower the risk of type 2 diabetes. It lowers long-term mortality risk. And it helps increase energy levels and improves your mood. Don't we all want to be in a good mood? We all need to stand up. That will help you. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. And a lot of times when you're looking in the Bible, it talks about standing. It doesn't talk about just standing. It talks about standing firm in something. So it says, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Oh, I need this hand. And then on Colossians 4:12, Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in the will of God, mature and fully assured. Now, that Greek word for stand means to make a stand. To make firm, to establish something, to uphold or sustain the authority or force of something. To stand as a foundation of a building. So something that is really firm, and we've got to just really stand there firm and not be, I guess, unsteady on our feet. I was watching some clips of Carol Burnett's show the other day. I wished I could have gotten it to show you guys, because, you know, of course they're all funny. But this one was, you know, Tim Conway was the old man. Y'all remember that, where he just shuffles his feet and kind of walks like that? And there's one where he's at the top of the stairs. Carol Burnett's the daughter, and she calls, can't remember the other guy's name. But anyway, he's the doctor. She calls the doctor to come and look at Dad, and Tim Conway's the dad. She said, you know, he's just real unsteady on his feet and everything, and, you know, on the way over here, can you pick up my dress from the cleaners? And just, you know, goes kind of crazy. But anyway, he gets there, and Tim Conway is at the top of the stairs, and he, you know, just everything he does is slow. He talks slow. He moves slow. Well, then he starts to trip, and he trips down the stairs in slow motion, and then he goes back. He hits his head on the wall, then he goes forward, and he hits his head on the post of the stairs, and then he just lays there, and then he kind of comes up a little bit, and he lays back down, and finally it's over. I mean, you're like, okay, is he going to move again, or are we done? You know, because it just does it all in slow motion, so it's pretty funny. But, you know, he's not steady on his feet in this clip. So we've got to be steady in our spiritual feet. We've got to stand firm. We don't want to spiritually be like Tim Conway falling down the stairs. Like the enemy can just blow on us, a little puff of wind, and we just go falling, right? We want to stand firm. Spiritual standing is not enough. We have to stand firm. Okay, we're getting to the good one now. Walking. Y'all ready for this? Walking. What it does for you physically, it burns calories. It strengthens your heart. Can help lower your blood sugar. Eases joint pain. And it boosts your immune system. Don't we all need our immune systems boosted about now? We all need that. So we need to walk. Now, spiritually, it says, blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him. It's not good enough just to walk, but we've got to walk in obedience to the Lord. Those who trust in themselves are fools, the Bible says, but those who walk in wisdom are kept safe. Walking in wisdom. Don't we want to be wise? I mean, I've never heard of anybody say, I just want to be a fool all my life. You know? Most people want to be wise. They want to make good decisions. They don't want to just walk around being a dummy. And this Galatians 15:16 says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify desires of the flesh. So walk in the Spirit. And then 2 John 1:6 says, and this is love, that we walk in the obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. We are to walk in love. Walk in the Greek means to make one's way or to progress. It's a verb. It's an action word. We've got to do something. So part of the definition is to make due use of opportunities. Have you ever thought of that? Make due use of opportunities. I'm going to tell you a story that happened to me last Saturday that kind of explains this. And I'm going to be very open, and I'm going to tell you the things I was even thinking. So just so you will know, it's not always easy to walk in obedience, okay? So I had a busy Saturday planned. I realized when I got up that we had zero communion elements for Sunday morning. So I needed to go to Mardell's, so that was on my list. And I thought while I was there, we probably needed some birthday cards for the church and anniversary cards, so I was going to get that while I was there. And then I needed to study for Bible study on Sunday, so I needed to get that done. I needed to put this message together, so I needed to get this done. And then Brian, it was kind of up in the air at that point whether or not he was going to be sent down to the coast to help with hurricane relief. And so it was possible he was going to have to leave from work, and I might have to take him some stuff to work because he was working that day. So I had all these things to do, you know, wife things, church things, you know. So I pull up at Mardell's, and I'm sitting in the car, and I'm looking for my mask. So I find my mask, and I glance up, and there's this lady standing right by my car. Okay. My first thought, I wish I could tell you my first thought was, oh, great ministry opportunity. No. My first thought was, well, here we go. That was my first thought, just to be honest. So she goes, I need some help. I thought, oh, great. So I roll my window down, and I just look at her, and she said, hey, now let me tell you something. First of all, I don't give people money, typically. I don't give them money because I've had a close-up encounter with drug abuse, and I know that you can just enable people. If they're, you know, now I've bought people food. I put gas in the car before you think I'm a total heathen. But I try to help where I can, but not to their detriment as much as possible. So the minute she started talking, I knew I was going to give her money. It's just like the Holy Spirit said, you're going to give her money. So, okay. So she starts telling me her story, and I'm only kind of half listening at this point. She has a job, but she can't start it until the day after Labor Day because of COVID and everything. There was a big delay in her being able to start her job. She had recently had back surgery, asked me if I wanted to see the scar. I said no, but she turned around and showed me anyway. So then she said that a relative of hers had recently died. Her best friend had died this year. She just had a really hard time, and she just needed some help. And I said, well, let me tell you, I typically just don't give people money. And she said, that's okay, that's okay. And she starts to walk off. I said, wait, I'm not done. So she turns back around, and I said, but I feel like I'm supposed to give you some money. She said, oh, well, thank you. I appreciate it so much. And I gave her some money, and it wasn't a lot, but I think it was more than she expected because her eyes got real big. And she said, I'm so sorry. I feel horrible having to ask people for help. I've never had to do this before. And it's just, you know, really, I've just been in a really bad spot. And she, you know, I asked her, I said, do you know the Lord? Because I thought, I'm going to take, but now that my day has been interrupted, not doing the things of the Lord that I thought I was supposed to be doing, you know. So I said, do you know the Lord? And she said, I wouldn't have made it this far if I didn't know the Lord. And so I said, well, I just, you know, want you to know that the God loves you. And, you know, I feel like he's told me to give this money to you. And so she just keeps talking, and she's just like, she just wants to unburden herself. And so I'm listening. I'm still sitting in my car. She's still outside. And I'd already given her the money, so she could have just said thanks and left. But she just felt like she needed to talk. So in the midst of her talking and everything, and in the midst of a pandemic, which we all know we're supposed to social distance, correct? I say, can I hug you? So she said, yes. So I get out of the car, And I'm hugging her, and she goes, "What's your name?" And I said, "Cindy." And she started bawling. She said, "Cindy was the name of my best friend that died." And she said, "God sent me a Cindy." And she was just so touched. And so, you know, we finally parted ways, and she went on her way, and I went in, and I just thought, wow. I thought I was doing the Lord's work by going to get communion elements at Mardell's. And I ended up really doing the Lord's work, because that's what the Lord's work is. And it's not because I'm great, because I was all ready to brush her off and run into Mardell's. But God used me. And what's so cool about this to me, and what it brought home to me, was that that job and that walk of opportunity could not have been done by a Barbara. It could not have been done by a Dot. It needed a Cindy. It needed, because of my name, if nothing else, my name, she connected to it, and it meant she felt like God had sent her somebody because of my name. There are jobs out there, there are walks of opportunity that a Cindy can't do, but a Rita can do. A Jeanette can do. A Becky can do. But a Cindy can't do it. So we've really got to be open to these opportunities, and not to get so much in our little to-do list that we're not paying attention. Because if she hadn't been standing right there, I wouldn't have paid any attention to her, to be honest. But she was standing right there, and there was like, there's no way I could avoid her. I would have hit her if I opened the door, you know? But it was an opportunity that I needed to take. And those are things we need to be looking for when we go about our business. And we've talked about this in Ladies Bible Study. I get in Walmart and I'm like, people see me and think I'm horrible, because they go, "Cindy, were you not going to speak to me? Well, I didn't even see you because I'm going after the toilet paper or whatever, you know?" So we've got to look around. People are important, and they're more important than our to-do list. So we need to walk in obedience to the Lord, because he will give us these opportunities. So in conclusion, we need to sit in God's presence. We need to stand firm in the faith. We need to walk in obedience. And sometimes that walking part, that actually having to do something, is tougher for us. But we really need to do it. And I want to give you a challenge. Are y'all up for a challenge this week? 15 minutes. 15 minutes out of your day, that's all I'm asking. I want you to spend the first 5 minutes just sitting in God's presence. And you may think, that's no big deal. Try it. Because sometimes it is a big deal. Because sometimes you're thinking, okay, what time is it? Because I got to go do this, or I got to go do that. Time yourself. 5 minutes just sitting in God's presence. And then 5 minutes memorizing scripture. Memorizing it. Not just reading it. Just get one verse. Kind of progress from Jesus Wept, you know. Get a verse that, you know, maybe something that kind of popped out at you during your reading, and think, I'm going to memorize this verse. And just five minutes. If you don't have it memorized in that 5 minutes, do it the next day for 5 minutes. And then spend 5 minutes praying, asking God what he wants you to do today. Too many times we get up, we read our Bible, we may pray, but we don't ask God, what do you want me to do today? What opportunities do you have for me today? So I'm going to challenge you, okay? 5 minutes in God's presence sitting, 5 minutes memorizing scripture, and 5 minutes praying, asking God what he wants you to do. Can we do that? Can we do that? All right, let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful that you love us, that you care for us, that you give us opportunities every day, and sometimes we miss them. Father, I ask that you open our eyes to those opportunities around us. Help us, Lord, to see what you would have us to do. Help us to walk in obedience. Help us to sit in your presence. Help us to stand firm against the plans of the enemy for our life and for the lives of our loved ones. Father, help us to be your servants. Help us to understand the honor and the privilege it is to be a servant. And help us, Lord, to walk in that. Lord, I ask that you bless each one here, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Thank you, Cindy. That was terrific. Yeah. I've already got my Bible verse memorized. Love one another. There you go. Do I have to do another one, or is that sufficient?
No.
All right. So anyway, we're glad that you joined us out there in TV land and Facebook land. So God bless you for being with us, and we'll see you next week.